Chapter 20. I spent the entire night dismembering the attacker's body down in the laboratory. Daisy built up the fire in the incinerator, and when I finally finished the butchering, soaked in the man's blood, we loaded his pieces inside. I cranked the heat up in the oven to close to 1800 degrees, hastily closed the door, and covered my mouth and nose with a spare rag.
How long will it take for the body to burn into ashes?
The brunette coughed and then placed her nose and mouth into the crook of her elbow.
3 hours,
I replied through the fabric.
That's how long it'll take to reduce it into bones and dust. Once it's finished, we'll allow the oven to cool for a day or two, remove the tray out of the bottom, and then scatter the ashes somewhere else. I was thinking the river that cuts through our property. We'll sprinkle the ashes in the water, and no one will be the wiser. The cremation process might be faster than we think, though, since we cut him up first. I'll just have to keep checking back every hour or so.
Daisy stepped back, giggled into her arm, and flushed a bit pink. I raised an eyebrow at her, stepped toward the door of the laboratory, and gestured with my arm for her to follow me.
What's the matter?
I asked.
You're a mess. You're covered head to toe in blood.
I mean, of course I am. I just finished up dismembering a body into an old bathtub. What else would you expect?
I'm not sure. Well, you should go get washed up.
We stepped out into the fresh night air, took a few deep breaths, and then turned toward each other. The brunette glanced down at her right wrist, examined the watch I'd given her, and then gasped.
My goodness! It's nearly 4 in the morning! We should probably take baths and go to bed. I'm so glad we're out of your laboratory, though.
Why do you say that? I asked.
Because the smell. It smells like cooking meat, like a rib roast or a juicy steak. And I'm sure if someone else smelled it, they'd be hungry. But I know what that smell is. It's a cooking body. So it makes my mouth water, but it also makes my stomach turn.
Well, you should be thanking me for having doctoral expertise.
Why do you say that, Charles?
If I hadn't, I would have been hacking blindly at the body. I could have nicked the stomach and it would have let out all of the stomach acids. Stomach acid can melt metal, but the smell, ugh, it's terrible. I once sat in a symposium at an operating theater and one of the students cut the stomach open. The stomach acid came pouring out and melting everything it touched, but the smell was so much worse. They had to clear out the hall, open all of the windows, and wait a week until it cleared away completely.
That sounds horrible. Well, I'm glad you knew what you were doing. If it were me, Valerie, or Ryan, we would have had no idea what to do.
It's all right. As long as I'm here, none of you will have to do any of the gross or smelly stuff.
Except for when we have babies. We'll be feeding, cleaning, and changing diapers.
Ah, yes. But I'll be sure to help out, too. I won't leave it to all of you. Daisy and I hurried toward the front of the house and climbed up the stairs, but I paused as the bear girl slipped inside. I leaned my head back, stared at the sky, and then furrowed my brows. It looked as if it were going to storm, but the clouds looked a little different than usual. Of course, heavy rains were normal in Edenheart during the fall, but these clouds didn't look exactly right to me. They swirled in a low circle, almost as if a tornado was about to touch down. But as soon as a cone formed, it would break apart and drift away. "Hmm," I muttered to myself. I'll have to keep an eye out in case one fully forms. As much as my women will hate it, if one does come down, we'll have to go down into the laboratory and hide out until it's over.
Did you say something, Charles?
Daisy whispered through the open door. No, it's nothing to worry about, my dear, I lied. Go on up to bed. I'll be there after I get cleaned up. I didn't want to scare her or my other women yet if it was just a false alarm. I studied the black clouds for a little bit longer, grunted, and then stepped inside the house. I already knew that I wouldn't be sleeping much tonight, especially with the body burning downstairs and the possible threat of a tornado. I guessed I could take a long nap in the late afternoon if I needed it. I stepped inside the foyer, closed the door behind me, and headed upstairs. Daisy's back slipped inside of the master bedroom, the door clicked closed, and I headed for the bathroom. I'd wash up as best as I could, change into some clean clothes, and then fall into bed with the rest of my women. I'd spent hours dismembering the corpse, and now I was dead tired. I wanted nothing more than to fall face first into bed and drift off to sleep surrounded by my women. I filled the tub with hot water, stripped off my clothes, and then sunk into it. My back ached from sawing the attacker's body into pieces, and the hot water soothed it away to a dull throb. I hurriedly washed my arms, soaped up my body, and scrubbed the blood away. It didn't take me long to clean all of the red splatters from my skin, and when I finally climbed out of the tub, I felt entirely refreshed. I tossed the dirty shirt, pants, and underwear into the hamper, grabbed a towel from the rungs, and dried myself off. As I let the water out of the tub, thunder boomed in the distance, and I paused for a second and listened to it. Maybe it would storm? It looked like it would earlier when I was outside with Daisy, but I was surprised that it was thundering. I grabbed a clean shirt, underwear, and socks from the shelf by the sink, slipped into them, and then dried off my hair. The thunder was louder now, threateningly close to the house, and I stepped toward the window. I peered out of it. The clouds seemed darker than they did before, and they swirled much faster. As I watched, a single crackle of lightning struck down, hit a tree deeper in the woods, and a flash of sparks lifted it into the air. It wasn't close enough to the house for me to be worried, but it was still strange. A thunderstorm this late in the year? We usually had heavy rains, but rarely lightning and thunder. I shrugged, hung up my used towel on the wall, and reached for the door handle, right as another lightning strike touched down. It was much louder and closer this time. I guessed that it was probably within a few miles of the house. They seemed to be getting closer and closer by each passing second, so I imagined that the storm would pass over us pretty soon. I stepped out into the hall, held the door open, paused for a second, and then gazed out of the window once more. Another lightning bolt came sizzling down, struck a much closer tree, and I squinted my eyes against the blinding light that flooded into the room.
What in the hell? How is it so close?
I lifted my right foot to step toward the window once more, but an explosive sound stopped me in my tracks. This time, it wasn't a lightning strike, but the sound of someone pounding on our front door. I turned, stepped to the banister above the stairs, and gazed down toward the door. A dark silhouette flickered against the glass panes, but I couldn't see who the person was yet.
Who could that be now? I grunted.
The pounding came even louder now. The door rattled in its frame, and it sounded as if the person outside was about to kick the whole damn thing in by their sheer force of will. The bedroom door behind me creaked open. Daisy leaned out, rubbed her eyes, and then tiptoed closer.
What is that? Is it storming? I heard the wind and the lightning, but that's so loud.
Someone is at the door, I whispered.
At this time of night? What's with all the noise?
Valerie complained as she emerged from the bedroom in her nightgown.
Yeah, why are you guys making so much noise? It's not us. Someone's at the door.
Who could it be?
Josephine asked, stepped out of her private bedroom and stepped closer.
It's 4:30 in the morning. Why would someone be visiting at such a late hour?
It can only mean one thing, I stated. The Duchess has finally come to us.
She probably waited for her goon to come back and tell her he slaughtered all of us. And when he didn't come back, she knew that something must have happened to him.
What do we do, Charles?
What we planned to do from the beginning, I stated,
hurried down the steps, and then gestured for Daisy and Josephine to follow.
We trick her. You two, Ryan, Valerie, go hide somewhere.
The two monster women nodded from above, turned, and then disappeared from view as they found the perfect hiding place. As I stepped down the last two stairs, I gestured into the drawing room, and the other two women stepped into the darkness. I cleared my throat, stood up a little straighter, and then reached for the door handle. The frame of the door shook violently, but the person on the other side of it didn't make a sound, not even a peep. I gripped the knob, twisted it, and swung the door open as I'd done so many times before. With my free hand, I flipped on the switch to the left of the door, and golden light flooded down over my shoulders. Right as I stood face to face with the person outside, lightning struck down in the middle of my driveway. Gravel and dirt exploded into the air as if a bomb had just gone off, and it rained down in thick chunks. I raised my eyes, squared my shoulders, and looked directly into the Duchess's face. I'd never seen Antony in such a state. Her usually styled hair hung around her shoulders in soaked ringlets. Her face was clean of makeup, and the dress she wore was quite plain compared to the others I'd seen her wear. The Duchess's thin face looked even gaunter, her skin unusually pale, and her slight frame looked on the verge of breaking. Her violet eyes burned into my face, her lips pulled back against her teeth, and she raised a single finger to point in my face. But what caught my attention wasn't the state of the Duchess, but the enormous mass of men standing below her in the gravel. All of them wore heavy armor, and their faces were obscured from view by massive metal helmets. They stepped over the enormous hole that the lightning had created and hurried into perfect formation at the edge of the stairs. Each of them held a weapon in their hands, and as the Duchess spoke, they shifted their position offensively.
Charles Rayburn.
Edany, what are you doing here, along with your entire guard?
Do you think I'm stupid? The last time I showed up with 5 men, Miss Browning slaughtered all of them. I came prepared this time.
Prepared for what? I asked as my mind spun. A fight? If it's a battle you're looking for, then I'm not interested. Miss Browning and I are quite tired due to a busy social calendar, and we'd like to rest now, so please leave.
No, I won't leave until you tell me what you did to me. I know you did something. You drugged me, or something. Something happened to me, and I know you're the one who did it.
Think rationally, Edany, I urged. How could I have done something to you? I haven't seen you in weeks.
At Josephine's party, you were there. I know you were, because I saw you. You spoke to me about something. I can't recall exactly what it is, but I remember it. What did we talk about? What did you give me? What have you done to me, you madman?
All of Edany's guards stalked forward, held their weapons aloft, and let out a mighty roar. It seemed as if their mistress's anger only urged them on more, so I tried to formulate a plan in my head. What could I do to stop not only Edany, but her small army, too? I was shaking in my goddamn boots, and my mind seemed to be grasping at vapors as it struggled to provide my mouth a solution to speak.
I haven't touched a hair on your head. Do you have proof that I did anything to you? Do you even have proof that I spoke to you? I remember the party quite well, and I didn't come near you the entire time.
That's a lie.
Edany roared, jabbed her finger into my face, and took a staggering step forward.
That's a bald-faced lie, Charles Rayburn, and you know it. I know you spoke to Lucien and me. I can't remember what was said. I know it was you. I remember looking directly into your face as you spoke to us. Tell me now, or I will strike you down with a bolt of lightning.
I was terrified of her and the powers she wielded behind those fingertips, along with the enormous guards behind her. But I felt a bit better knowing that my women waited in the wings. If the Duchess attacked, Daisy and Josephine would be right there. But I had to wonder, could Josephine's mind control stop the Duchess from attacking? What about the small army behind her? Could we stop them all if they attacked? I wasn't sure if that was possible. I had to do something and figure out a way to keep my family safe. But what could I do? Was there anything I could do that could stop them from murdering us right here? Then a solution struck me just as suddenly as if it was one of the Duchess's lightning bolts. I knew how to wiggle out of this.
Edany, you're in love with me, right? That's what you told me at the party. I remember it very clearly.
Edany's face paled even more. Her mouth hung open for a second like a dead trout, but just as suddenly she snapped back to attention. She brought back the hand she pointed toward me, curled it into a fist, and stepped into the foyer right in front of me.
"Stop it!" I growled in a low voice. "You're in love with me, and we both know it. You told me that you want to kill the Queen. You also told me how you're going to do it. But I think you should drop Lucien and work with me again."
"What? What the hell are you blabbering on about?"
"You can't deny it anymore, Edany. I heard it from your very lips. You're in love with me, and you want to kill the Queen. Before we get into all that, I have a few things I have to tell you."
"What is it?"
The blonde aristocrat gasped. Her expression softened, and she stepped forward with her hands pressed to her chest. My plan was working perfectly.
"I have feelings for you," I lied.
I've been denying it this entire time, but my feelings for you are so strong that I can't hold it in anymore. I'm in love with you too, Edeny. It feels so good to finally have all of this out in the open. The Duchess's violet eyes widened, her mouth dropped open, and her hands fell limply to her waist. She seemed just as shocked as I had expected, and I wondered how my women waiting in the wings felt, since I had no time to run this plan past them, since they were hiding and the Duchess was right here.
Are you? Are you really?
Edeny breathed. Yes, of course. How could I not be? You are beautiful and powerful. I feel as if, well, Edeny, we've made quite a mess of things, haven't we?
Oh, I almost can't believe it. But the feelings fluttering in my chest tell me it's true. Charles, finally, you see that my actions weren't cruel and unusual. They were made because I didn't understand this emotion rippling through me. I'm so glad we finally understand each other now. I love you more than I have ever loved anyone.
Yes, I replied. I see that now. My darling, it's been quite a bumpy ride on a wild bronco, but I must say that I think we can make this work. Edeny leaned into my voice as if it were the most soothing sound in the world. Edeny didn't seem bothered by more news. In fact, she took a deep breath and a half step closer. She instinctively reached out for me but pulled back at the last second.
We can?
Tears watered in her eyes and a smile curled at her lips, but she was still pulling back. I want to kill the queen, I breathed.
Excuse me?
Edeny drew back, and her eyes blinked rapidly. Then she tilted her head, pressed her hand to her chest, and took an intrigued step forward.
What was that? I could have sworn you just said...
You heard me correctly. I want to kill the queen with you. I love you, and she is your enemy. Allow me to help you destroy her, Edeny. You deserve to rule in her place.
Oh, Charles, I can't believe my ears. None of this can be true. But for some reason, my heart is telling me it is.
I created super soldiers, I stated. Not the ones you're expecting, but I managed to make them. I made them for you, my love.
What? Wait. No, what? You did?
Edeny's violet eyes widened, and her mouth opened and closed like a confused trout. She reached out for me, but I sidestepped her, held her by the arm, and guided her down the stairs. I've improved the machine, I continued, and I want to show you. Come down into the laboratory with me. You can experience the true meaning of ultimate power. Don't you want that? To feel it rushing through your veins, the pure exhilaration, unadulterated ecstasy.
My word! Charles!
Can you ask your soldiers to leave? I purred into her ear as we walked toward the entrance to my laboratory. What I have to show you will take a while, and it would be a shame to leave them sitting out here all night.
Yes!
She squeaked again, and then she turned to her men.
You can all return to the barracks. I have no more need of you tonight.
Yes, Duchess!
The man in the nicest armor saluted, and then a group of men turned and began to march back away from my manor. Good, 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 I cooed as I reached the door to the laboratory and swung it open. I'd lulled her into a sense of false security. Sure, I could create the monster women for her and help her take down the queen, but at the end of all this, it wouldn't be her sitting on the throne. I would be.
Oh, this is quite exciting, Charles,
she whispered as she eyed the dark stairwell that led to my machine.
I just knew you had figured it out. I am looking forward to you explaining to me just how it will work, and how we can use it to defeat my nemesis.
Oh, don't worry, my love. By the time this night is over, you will be intimately familiar with my machine, and you'll know exactly what it is capable of. I turned halfway down the stairs and offered the Duchess my outstretched hand. Edeny glanced down at me nervously, pressed her lips together in a smile, and then took my hand. Then I led her down the stairs. End of Book 3.